Welcome to Rock Your Life with Amy Edwards. This is a weekly show about finding your inner rock star, overcoming fear, getting better, and transforming your life into something more amazing than you ever dreamed. I start with a huge thank you. I'm so grateful that you're here and that I'm here. Thank you. I also encourage you to keep up with a gratitude practice in your own life and write down 5 things you are grateful for every day. I feel like that matters now more than ever. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I'm a musician, an author, a radio host, a podcaster, DJ, mom, and a transformation and accountability coach. I'm all about rocking life because I took up rock and roll music and learned the guitar and began to sing 7 years ago around the age of 40. I've now written and recorded and released albums and singles, and doing that has pushed me to learn a lot about overcoming fear, getting on stage in my 40s, getting stronger, caring less about what other people think, writing songs, dealing with failure, comparison, setting goals, building habits, all of that. More generally speaking, embracing true vulnerability. I walk the walk of what I talk in these episodes, and I push myself outside of my comfort zone, which is hard, but it gets easier the more we do it. And all of this has pushed me to awaken in my own spiritual life, and that's something that I can't and won't stop working on. So I have created this because I feel called to share what I've learned and am learning with others who want to go to the next level in their own lives. So if you're interested in stepping into the spotlight more in your own life and getting past obstacles and fear, that's what we're pursuing here. We have practical advice for your daily life, achieving goals, habits, branding, all that stuff, and just for becoming better in every way possible, holistically, because I want us all to get better together. The show's an hour long and divided into 4 segments with a focus each week. This week, our focus is brain. First, I talk about this week's topic and what I've learned. Next is the interview, and today we're talking to Art Markman. He's a PhD of psychology and a professor at University of Texas. He's also the author of Smart Thinking and Habits of Leadership, Smart Change, Brain Briefs, and most recently, Bring Your Brain to Work. And he's also on the KUT show, Two Guys on Your Head. Our third segment is our affirmation segment called Go Aff Yourself with the founder of StickWithIt.co, Jill Faulkner. Affirmations are super important to me. I say them out loud, so we choose one to work on every week. And fourth is our BYOB segment, Build Your Brand, Brain, and Biz with Bijou Finney. She's a certified brand consultant and co-owner of Velvet Cartel Content Creation. Bijou and I discuss how the week's subject relates to your brain and your brand, and we cover practical tips and strategies to build your business and take charge of your habits and optimize your brain. And our regular warning, when you show up to do the work on these topics that we discuss on the show, you'll often be shown what you need to learn and grow. And growth can be painful and hard sometimes, but remember that we're rocking life and we come out better and stronger and functioning higher and lighter on the other side every time. I truly believe that. And remember, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. A lot of this is just my own experience, and that's what we're sharing. Okay, so time to get to it. Let's rock our brains. Brain. There is a lot packed in this one this week, especially if you're listening in real time. We're in this situation of shelter in place. Most everyone is gripped by the pandemic going on right now and the uncertainty in our lives and in the world and in our economic situation. It's crazy. So I was a little unsure of the best way to approach this and proceed and have things here that apply to our lives right now and apply when things hopefully return to something closer to normal. But who knows? And we're all just doing the best we can right now and cutting ourselves slack in this process, I hope. And that's one thing that comes up over and over from me mainly throughout today's episode is finding ways in our brain to cut ourselves some slack. However, I still do maintain that we need to continue and build our habits and maintain those as well. All right, so a few things came up for me this week in relation to the topic of brain. One was the concept of surrender. That requires so much brain power and so much work when we have to be faced with surrender. And I got moved by this quote from Joe Dispenza in the book Becoming Supernatural, which I'm reading, and it just really spoke to me. He was meditating about something and he was trying to recreate a meditation experience that he had, and he couldn't seem to do it. So finally he just said, whatever. And then he wrote, whatever. Apparently that was the magic word. I know what that means now. I surrendered, got out of the way, let go of any specific outcome, and I simply opened up to possibility. And I think that's just really beautiful for what we're in right now. I had things come up this week that forced me to surrender. They were big lessons in surrender and finding ways to go, okay, this is the situation right now. How am I going to deal with that? How am I going to adjust to this rather than wishing it was something it is not? Because ultimately, that's the resistance that we've been talking about so many times. And with the Michael Singer books, the surrender of our brains, that whatever, this move toward, what is this here to show us? What am I supposed to be learning? What am I supposed to be surrendering to? That isn't really what I want, but here it is anyway. Do I resist? Do I surrender? I've been working so hard on shifting my brain into that mode, and the lessons keep coming. So finally this week, I really had a moment where I said, okay, fine, here I am. So that said, let's talk about habits. I've struggled this week with my habits too, and I held myself to certain standards that I wasn't meeting. I've been hard on myself. I talked last week in Future Self about maintaining our habits and how I think that is so important right now, and I want to reiterate that. I've been working to do that myself, and the health and brain health habits that we work to build and cultivate can't be pushed aside right now. We have to keep them up now more than ever, simply because it's hard right now. I started a list in my habit tracker journal that goes with Atomic Habits. It's a great tracker if you want to check that out. I'm working on accomplishing them every day. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. It is a work in progress in this new norm. And in Atomic Habits, James Clear says that when we let our habits go one day, that's okay, but we got to get right back to it the day after. We can't let them go longer than that, or we're shifting into building new habits. Yikes. My new habits were like not going to the gym, and that moved into not working out altogether. And then it's just like snowballing from there. My physicality was suffering. And Art Markman in our interview today talks a lot about this. He's so interesting. I really am excited to share that interview with you. Another thing that I think we can pay attention to, and this kind of falls in line with habits, is our sleep. Matthew Walker, PhD, wrote a book called Why We Sleep. It's very sciencey, but I have been getting through it, and it is super interesting. I'm a huge proponent of sleep. I am very careful about my sleep. You might have heard me talk about it before. I do all the things. I do stare at a screen a little bit too much before I go to bed, but I really strive to get enough sleep every single night. And that means 7 or 8 hours, usually 8 if I'm really at it. Try not to drink before bed. I just take sleep very seriously. And I often say that it's the key to my life. So maybe we have opportunities in this moment in our lives to even build habits like that, like better sleep. Because in that book, it talks about how it is so crucial to everything that our brains do. I recommend that book. It's a little bit of a slog because it's so sciencey, but I'm skimming those parts and really enjoying the parts that define how our brains function. Bijou, in our segment today, in our BYOB segment, talks about this aura ring that she has got and how much she is learning about her own sleep patterns. So, and I'm hoping to get one of those and look at my own sleep patterns. And I've been allowing myself to sleep a little bit later and wake up a little more naturally, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but I am just allowing myself a little more time to sleep. Ultimately, what I'm saying through everything here is that we're reframing these things. We're reframing this entire situation of a shelter in place as a chance to do all these things, as an opportunity. We talk a lot about reframing in this episode in every single segment. So I thought that that was just a great thing to address here in the intro. I have had to find reframes many, many times in my life, like in my divorces, viewing them not as failed marriages, but as experiences that were crucial to my own growth and successful in their own right. You know, they produced my children. And taking that even a little further, I've had to reframe my time together with my children. When I first got divorced from my first marriage, when we split up, my oldest daughter was 2 years old. And I felt really guilty about the divorce. And I felt stressed out about everything around it. But when I was with her, she was a toddler, and I felt stressed out when I was with her. And when I wasn't with her, I felt guilty about the fact that she was with her dad and I had left him essentially and made this happen. And I had to step back and go, oh my God, I'm not happy anytime. I had to reframe the entire situation to where I valued my time with her and where I valued my time alone and used it for self-care. I also realized that right now I am stuck in an old way of thinking in my entire life. and I need to reframe that. And I recognized this a couple years back when I left my second marriage. I have always framed myself, and actually I don't even know that I framed myself. I think it was done for me. I accepted it, and that's just how I've rolled. I accepted the framing of myself as younger. My whole life, I've been the younger one. I was the youngest child. I was the younger sister. I was young for my grade. My birthday is late August, so I was always the youngest of all my friends, the youngest in my friend groups. I was one of the younger ones in the girl band I started in. I've been younger than everyone I've ever had a relationship with up until 2 years ago. When I got out of that marriage, I thought, you know what? I've got to break this pattern. I'm only going to date younger than me, because I saw that dynamic and saw that it needed some sort of reboot. So I was thinking of myself in this context without realizing it. And I know that falls into patterns and a lot of different things, but I had to really reframe. And I've recognized it now because I started to see, and I hate admitting this, but y'all know I'm always admitting things and just crossing my fingers that it resonates with somebody. So anyway, here goes. So now I realize that I've had some moments lately that have come up when I felt threatened or competitive from other women mainly in my life. I can think of several off the top of my head, and I'm not going to get into specifics there, but I think I felt threatened, you know, with a job or the attention of someone or how I looked or how my body was, whatever it is. I bet you can identify with that, right? Ugh. I'm just loath to admit this, but I've felt it, that negativity and competitiveness. I hate that feeling. And I try to get through it. I try to let it out or say, no, that's not me. And sometimes I think I even pick up on it from others, but sometimes I think it's me. I don't know. Maybe it's a combo. But what I do know is that all I can control is myself. And I don't want that. I had to look at what this was showing me about myself. And one of the things I realized is that I am the older one now. I'm 47 years old. I'm probably the one that a lot of people and women younger than me look up to. And I know I have women I look up to. So who am I going to be? Who am I going to really be? I have to reframe myself into knowing that I am showing everyone something. I don't have to be competitive or threatened. Those are not heart open positions either. And I am truly surrendering to opening my heart, as hard as that is sometimes. And for some reason, this is a sticking point. So my brain's got to reframe. And this isn't to say I can't learn from women younger than me. Absolutely, I can. In fact, part of not being threatened or competitive is the realization that everyone has things that we can learn from if we stay open. I think I just have to reframe myself into a position of knowing who I am. And there's something about thinking of myself as younger or inferior that takes away my power. And I've allowed that. This mental shift helps me stay solid in my position rather than feeling threatened. So I'm going to reframe to a position of not younger or older, but just me, unthreatened, let go of competitiveness, all that. I mean, what if all this is just a tool to reframe and see the greatness of our spirits and to learn? All right. So it's about time to get into our episode then. That said, I'm very curious what you think of that too and how you feel about your habits. And are you, you know, struggling? How's it going? Are you working from home? Are you keeping it all in line? Are you getting it all done? Maybe you're not. Maybe you need accountability. You know, I can help you with that. If you want to talk to me, get some accountability going together, then do reach out. I can help you stay accountable from working at home and accountable with your habits. So message me, amy@amyedwards.com. All right, so let's get to our segments this week. So excited about the interview with Dr. Art Markman. We cover the motivations and our emotions around them, happiness, fear, anxiety, relief. He talks a lot about the moment of now, and I just asked him how it is that we feel weird about feeling okay. And he talks a lot about shifting our mindset into focusing on beautiful and wonderful and desirable things and giving ourselves alternative patterns of thought. We touch on what he does personally and finding ways to leave work behind, even when you're working from home. And we just touch on a lot of things, even habits. So I'm super excited to bring that to you. With Jill today, we talk a lot about brain science and reading and turning our brain off, exercising our brain. And how do we work with our brains to feel in life that we are great enough for the relationships we want and for all the things we want. It is an interesting discussion with Jill today. And our affirmation this week is, I work with my brain. And Jill also has a big realization in this episode. With Bijou on BYOB, we talk about having this sort of zombie brain and zoning out right now and how that's been for us, and especially with our work lives. She talks about the weird feeling of sales and how to focus on the clients that you have and how your brain is within that. We get into our to-do list, the books that she's reading right now, keeping a schedule, how our brains work with choice, and of course, the reframing of this situation. So let's get to the rest of the episode now. It's time for the interview with Art Markman.
So awesome. I want to first say thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Oh, yeah. No, always happy to help out.
You're a professor at the University of Texas. You have a PhD in psychology. You're also part of the show on KUT, Two Guys on Your Head. You have a new book that recently came out called Bring Your Brain to Work, and people can find out more about you at smartthinkingbook.com, right?
That's all.
Anything else we need to add to that?
No, I think if you went on any longer, we wouldn't have anything else to talk about.
Well, I like it. You do so much. And you were also in Bijou's. Bijou's featured on this podcast as a regular contributor, and you were in Velvet Cartel's documentary that they produced, Gentleman Driver. Very cool.
That's right. Yeah, that was a blast. I do a bunch of those things. Almost never, none of them ever see the light of day. So it was sort of funny that one, I've actually had people write to me, friends, old friends of mine, saying, I was watching this weird documentary and suddenly there you were.
I thought it added so much to the documentary. It was really cool.
They did a great job with it.
They really did. Okay, my show is called Rock Your Life, and it's all about transformation. I'm about transforming life and making it better, and the listeners of it are as well. And, you know, initially when I asked you to chat about this topic, Rock Your Brain, it was about optimizing our brains and working smarter toward simple and effective habits of making the most to become our best selves. But now we've shifted, and we have this virus, we have a new normal. And I think that for many people, even when we ask, how are you? Everybody has this sort of weird kind of response to it. Like, is it okay to say I'm okay? And I think that maybe it almost feels wrong to be happy right now. And I just wanted kind of your take on that. If we're in this new normal, what's going on with us and how are we going to adjust around that?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing is to recognize what emotions are. And a lot of people really don't know much about the relationship between the emotions we're experiencing and the motivations that we have. And in particular, we have two distinct motivational systems. There's what's called the approach system, which is the thing that helps you and kicks in when there's some beautiful, wonderful, desirable thing out there in the world. And then there's the avoidance system, which kicks in when there's a potential looming threat or catastrophe. And right now, of course, there's a potential looming threat and catastrophe out there in COVID-19. And so we have this avoidance motivation locked in, right? And the thing about avoidance motivation is that the emotions that are associated with that are fear and anxiety when the threat is out there, and relief when you successfully avoid the threat. Mm-hmm. So happiness is an emotion that's associated not with avoidance, but actually with approach. When you get some beautiful, wonderful, desirable thing, you're happy. And when you don't get it, you're sad or dejected. Okay. Now, one of the reasons why I think people are a little reluctant to say, yeah, I'm actually pretty happy at the moment, is because at least implicitly they recognize that what they're saying is, I'm not really in a mode of trying to avoid some threat right now. There's actually some wonderful, beautiful things happening in my life, and I'm enjoying them. And they feel a little wrong about that because they feel like with this threat out there, with people out there who are getting sick and are being affected by it economically, that they shouldn't be in a position where they're actually going after and achieving really wonderful and beautiful and desirable things.
That makes perfect sense. Don't you think, though, that it's imperative that we do feel that way? We do embrace those feelings right now. How do we do that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, so first of all, you know, we shouldn't actually make a decision about what it is we're supposed to be doing in this situation.
Okay.
And in fact, one of the things we have to remember is, you know, if you look back in history at some of the worst times, plagues, the Holocaust, you know, people who were undergoing some of the worst circumstances were still enjoying their lives, finding those small moments of beauty and of joy. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a critical part of human experience. Now, that doesn't mean don't be safe. You know, job one, make sure that you and your loved ones are protecting yourselves and engaging in all the right kinds of behaviors now. But once you've done that, find those moments of beauty. And, you know, particularly for folks who are maybe cooped up with their family right now, you know, if you are constantly on alert, vigilant for threat, you're going to drive each other crazy. So once you've kind of put the threat outside, literally, you know, find wonderful things you can do together. Find ways to enjoy that time together, reconnect with people. And even if you're engaging in your social distancing alone, find ways to connect with people in other ways. You know, use Skype and Zoom and all those other tools. Reach out, pick up the phone for crying out loud. And better yet, if you have one of those phones with a cord on it, go really old school. You know,
but, I know, right?
But find ways to do some beautiful things because life has lots of wonderful moments in it. And if you're being safe at the moment, if you're doing the right things, then yeah, there's not only is there nothing wrong with feeling happy, it's a really important part of your daily experience.
Yeah, I think sometimes people can have this like sort of low level stress that they don't really register in so many ways in regular life. I guess I'm not calling this regular life, even though it is. But I think that we have to find ways to work around that stress.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's actually, I mean, if you really dig into the motivation work, when you are focused on a particular threat in the environment, it actually creates a broader frame called a prevention focus that actually makes you more sensitive to every potential threat, every potential loss in the environment. So it's like you become sensitized to everything that could go wrong, and every little thing that could possibly be a problem suddenly leaps out at you. So one of the other reasons to shift that mindset every once in a while and focus on beautiful and wonderful and desirable things is to remind yourself that there is a lot of real wonderful stuff out there, that there are beautiful things happening. Because otherwise, that low-level stress, which reflects a kind of low-level avoidance motivation, prevention focus, will keep you constantly on the lookout for the things that are going wrong. And that's very hard to escape unless you really will yourself out of it by focusing on some beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I think like when you do keep focusing on that beautiful thing, you're training your mind, right? You're training yourself to start seeing. I know that too, even just talking about what you were just talking about, how we get in that habit of perceiving the threats. I know I did that like when I had my first child, you know, and got in that mode like, oh my gosh, that might kill her and that might kill her, you know. And I think that we can retrain, right? Like when we get in those habits, we're retraining our brain.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So part of what you're doing is giving yourself alternative patterns of thought that are also allowable, and then recognizing when you get into those new patterns of thought that calamity doesn't ensue, right? When you have your first child, you walk around thinking, I'm going to break this thing, forgetting that this child is the next in line from millions of years of evolved creatures that weren't that breakable.
We were them, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. So I wanted to ask you a little bit personally. So you know, one of the things I talk about is getting unstuck and developing practices and habits. And right now we have this time to go within and do some good work on ourselves and the self-work that, you know, a lot of times we think we don't have the time to do. Yeah. And I just wondered personally what your practices are for optimizing your brain. And an ancillary to that is, like, has this pandemic changed any of that or at all? Is it more difficult and why?
Yeah. So I will say I sort of prepped for this a little bit. I was lucky enough to be able to go into my office up until the beginning of this week, knowing that I wasn't going to be able to do that before long, and spent time thinking about things like all the gyms that I go to were about to close. And so I really did prep. I had a very expensive weekend a couple of weekends ago where I went out and bought both a bicycle and a Peloton on the same day.
Wow,
to make sure
that's
that
smart.
So I'd have some exercise equipment at home, and I go to Row Fitness, which is this wonderful gym in Austin, and they unfortunately had to close, and we rented a rowing machine from them, and
nice.
And so I really went out of my way to kind of structure it so that I would have a daily opportunity to do some kind of exercise, which I just think is really important. And you know, we live in Austin, which isn't that densely populated compared to, say, New York. So, you know, you can also get outside and take a walk and still be social distancing. I think it's, you know, those kinds of things for me have been really important. You know, the other thing is, for those of us who are working at home, creating some degree of consistency is really important. You know, it's you know, the first day I was watching people on social media who were either, you know, somebody referred to it as business on top, party on the bottom, you know, where they were sort of in a nice shirt or whatever. And then, you know, in their PJs, you know, below the waist where you couldn't see them on Skype. And, you know, I actually feel like, okay, yeah, a day or two of that is fine. But actually, you know what, get up, shower, get into whatever your business uniform is, get yourself kind of in that physical space in which you're going to be associating that with, I'm going to get some work done, and then find a space, sit down, do the stuff that you have to do. I think it's just so important to maintain that routine. And it's important to do that partly so that you can be productive while you're working, but also so that when you're done working, that you can then leave it behind. I'm a big believer in working when you're at work and not working when you're not at work. And when you have to blend your workspace and your home space, it can be very hard to shift back and forth between the two. And so creating a particular location and saying, this is the place where I work, is a way of training yourself that you can also get away from it, that you can now, you know, do other stuff and enjoy your time, even though your work is just across the house.
Do you have any other practices that you regularly do, like meditation or just any other habits that you've really fostered to optimize your brain?
Yeah, I keep trying new things. About 18 years ago, I took up the saxophone. And so, you know, I try to play. It's a little bit harder. My band is, you know, we can't get together. So I'm, you know, just trying to play at home and keep that up. But that's, of course, you know, a wonderful thing. And music is its own form of meditation, right?
I mean,
I'm a big believer in mindfulness exercises and meditation. It's not something that I've done a lot of myself because I've found other things that serve the same purpose. But I'm certainly a big fan of a lot of, you know, of both, you know, meditation that comes out of particular traditions like yoga or prayer, but also just the more kind of modern meditation techniques that are sometimes borrowed from a particular tradition like Buddhism, but aren't really attached to it. I think they have a lot to offer. It gives you a chance to really analyze your thought patterns, which I think is useful.
I do too. I heard that you said you are a vegan, and I was just curious why and if it had anything to do with your brain.
it did in some way. It had to do with habits for sure. So I a long time ago was in a position where I was eating really badly, and I wanted to eat better. You know, one way of trying to eat better is eat less. And it turns out from a habit change standpoint, it's very hard to do less of something that you do. It's much easier to just completely change what you're doing. And so at that point in my life, I actually went from being an omnivore to being a vegetarian, and did that for many years. And then that gradually shifted into dropping some of the other foods that I was still eating. And about eight or 9 years ago, dropped the eggs and dairy from my diet and kind of went full on as a plant-based eater. And so, you know, I think it's worked quite well for me. I think that what's most important for people is you've got to pay a lot of attention to what you eat. We're in an environment in which people will eat, drink, ingest anything that they want. And then when they get sick, they expect that a pill or an operation is going to fix everything.
Well, not only that, like your brain doesn't work as optimally. Yeah. And then you're like, well, could it be that pizza I ate or, you know what?
Right. Yeah. You know, if you're feeling exhausted after lunch, it's possible that the thing that you ate was kind of a problem.
Entirely possible. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So we're about out of time. I just wanted to see if there was anything else that you wanted to add to people that really want to make the most of their brains and develop them as optimally as possible when they're working to change their lives, like I always am. And just anything that you wanted to add.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I would recommend, though, is we're at a time right now where we have a real opportunity to work on the relationships that we have in our lives right now, particularly our home relationships. If you're stuck in a house with somebody now, or maybe a whole bunch of people in that house, you and the rest of a family, you know, think about the way that dynamic works. Think a lot about are you happy with the amount of work that you do if you're raising a family with someone else? Do you feel good about your contribution to that? This is, you know, we're often so busy on a daily basis that we have no time to rethink the dynamic that has naturally developed in our lives. This is a chance where no matter how busy you think you are, it's qualitatively different than when you have to go running off to an appointment. So take the time to rethink, do I want to do things differently while you have this chance? We're going to be in this situation another 8 weeks. So this is a really great chance to rethink the way that we interact with the people closest to us and to make that better.
That is a beautiful message to leave with. Thank you. It kind of made my heart all warm. So anyway, I just want to say a huge thank you for being a part of this today. And I'm so excited to share everything that you said. So thank you so much, Art.
Well, thanks Amy. It was a pleasure talking with you. And if there's ever anything else I can do, just let me know.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Today on Go Aff Yourself, we are talking about our brains, your noggin.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about brains, baby. How you feeling about it?
I need to give her more attention, my brain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To she. She's well, cool with that pronoun.
I think so. Yeah. It.
Her.
It. Yeah. Her. I tend to, yeah, it's a she.
So tell me more about needing to give it more attention.
For me, I take that from, I want to just always be learning.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading a lot more lately.
Yeah.
And just have been really enjoying that process and making my brain work. So
very nice.
For me, I want to exercise the brain more from an intellectual standpoint.
You know, I just think that it's just happening more now. Like, I think people are just into it. Is it trending? I don't know. Maybe it's just trendy. Maybe it's always been going on and it's just more in the national conversation now. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we're all talking about brain science a lot more than we used to these days. I'm not sure why that is. Biju and I will probably get into that
just
in our segment.
New discoveries, I think, of how truly powerful the brain is. And it actually trips me up sometimes when I think about how we function, or like even speaking these words right now, and how my brain is letting this all happen.
It's so incredible. And it's a mushy mass of stuff.
Oh my gosh. I just like, I'm like grabbing my head because I'm just like, oh no. My gosh, this brain is inside of my head.
We're the head exploding emoji.
We are. I don't know. Yeah. I do often think like just how our muscles are, our brain is everything.
It is everything. Yep. Mm-hmm. It is literally everything. And, you know, I'm so like paranoid about head injuries and things like that, you know, because like that's just you cannot replace that. I did see a TED talk, though, about people who had injuries and like they were doing specific treatments with them and managing to regenerate things in their brain, which so it does have power even to heal and regenerate itself,
yeah,
which is incredible too.
Yeah. So. And then sometimes I just want to turn it off.
Yep.
Not the functions of my brain, but the thoughts.
And do you?
I try.
Mm-hmm. Try.
Yeah.
There is no try, Jill. No. Actually, that is meditation, you know? It is a try. Mm-hmm. Have you been meditating?
More so lately.
That's great.
Even just for 5 minutes.
Good.
I just set an alarm. And
good.
I'll just sit for 5 minutes and breathe. And I try. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about it too much. It's just like, right. I do like the quiet and I enjoy that. So I do, I'm drawn to want to do that. Even if I am just sitting there with my eyes open, looking outside or looking around my room or whatever it is, like I do want my brain to feel relaxed and to be able to shut down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the overstimulation is not good either. It's like sleep, right? Like we need sleep. We need to rest in order to, you know, regenerate and replenish ourselves.
Big time. Big time. There's so many. I try really hard to take care of my brain because I can tell the differences that lack of sleep makes, or if I drink alcohol.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, even when we are recording this right now, I had a couple drinks last night, more than a couple, and I'm paying the price of it today. You know, I'm not at my optimal everything. And yet I'm still talking and doing it. So weird.
Yeah.
So what specifically do you think you could do to improve, since you said you need to take better care of it?
Also just like memory things. Sometimes I feel forgetful or am forgetful. Or, you know, it's like, okay, I've got to have everybody's birthdays in my calendar. I just don't remember people's birthdays anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the stimulation of using my brain, like with a Sudoku puzzle or Scrabble, or just like just exercising my brain's capacities and skills.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy to just get lazy about it. You know, that's what it is.
There's so much good television. You could just sit there and zone out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's sometimes where you're thinking and when you're like, your brain is doing work, but reading for me lately has just felt really great. And I think I've also been sleeping better and I've just felt better about my life because I've been limiting my screen time.
That's good. All right. Well, what about affirmations and how they affect your brain? How do you feel over the years having used them?
Oh my gosh.
And the effect on your brain.
Completely changed.
Yeah.
So much. Even though sometimes it feels like it's a long journey. Like we were talking about last week about our future self, and you know, you had written this song years ago, and it's like, oh, still have the same problems. Like I do notice a huge difference in the use of affirmations and how I feel about myself, and that is happening in my brain. Like I'm able to change my thoughts a lot more quickly than I used to. There is less rumination time on things. Some it still happens, but it's less and less. And I just feel more adept to adjust so that I'm not dragging myself down.
Absolutely. And I have paid closer attention to how affirmations affect me. And we've been together doing this for a year and a half. And with a little break, but overall a year and a half. And a year ago, basically right now is when I started saying them out loud. And I think that was the part that made it stronger for me. That's mm-hmm. when it really started to make a difference. I think, I don't know, maybe it was just cumulative and that's where it got, it had started adding up already. It probably had, but I feel like that's when it really started to make a difference in my brain, and actually saying them out loud and the power of actually hearing yourself say it mm-hmm. to me is just so huge. And I want to just take another second, and I know I'm a broken record on this, but tell people, say them out loud, because we're listening.
Oh yeah. And when you were talking about, you know, the brain, the science and all the kind of mm-hmm. new studies that seem to be coming, all those studies, studies are interesting to me because they've been working on them for years sometimes, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's this research, and I forget, like, oh yeah, they've been doing this for a long time. Yes. This isn't something that they just figured out.
Right.
But there's just more conversation around how impactful the way that we speak to ourselves about ourselves and, you know, are just affecting, like, the brain. We're listening. The brain mm-hmm. is adjusting to what you're saying.
Yes. And so I've also been reading this book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that get imprinted in our subconscious mind. And that is where I've been working on. And I think that's been a big part of the affirmations for me, is getting them imprinted in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of the future self episode that we talked about, was this, you know, meditation that I made myself. I haven't really told you about this, but I don't know if you heard it. So I made myself a meditation about my future self, but really it was a lot of affirmations about who I am and, you know, who I am or mm-hmm. who I want to be or whatever. And listened to that and have been listening to that. And when I did it during the ketamine therapy, I realized that after I came out of that, it was a really great experience in it, but after I came out of it, I couldn't quite remember it.
Mm.
And when I said to the guy, I remembered this a few minutes ago and now I don't. And he said, it's in your subconscious mind. And I thought, that's wonderful. And that's the goal, to get all these affirmations just subconsciously in there, so you know your value.
Because that's really where we operate from.
It is 100% where we operate from.
Is the subconscious.
Okay, maybe not 100%.
Yeah.
But it is a lot.
Yeah. We're not doing the brain science.
Yes.
But that's... And so for years, when you're telling yourself one thing, or other people are telling you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, it takes a lot to sometimes overcome that, because when we're younger and these things are being told to us, or we're telling ourselves these things, we don't have the tools and the understanding of the effect that it is really having on our lives. At least I didn't. I think now kids seem to maybe be in a better position. You know, they're incorporating mindfulness into schools and meditation and things. And with social media, there is some positivity through that.
Yeah.
You know, generally, I don't know if it's super positive, but kids are seeing more positive messaging, I think, than I had. Because all I had growing up was my immediate surroundings. And when girls are mean to you, and when the magazine covers say you need to look like... I mean, even still, you know, there is part of me that doesn't feel enough. And I hate that.
I know.
Because I don't know. I don't think I really feel that way.
Right.
But I look like, just in advertisements, like, or I was on Pinterest the other night, just scanning through or whatever. I figured it was a different place to scroll than, you know, Instagram.
Sure.
But, you know, looking at couples, because I put a board together, mm-hmm. You know, about what I want my relationship to look like.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's private, so don't try to find it.
Okay.
It's just for me. But still, what I'm seeing is super attractive people,
right?
Thin women with beautiful, long, thick hair.
Yes.
And that is so not me.
I see that too. And I'm like, what?
It pains me that I don't see an opportunity for me to have a relationship with a handsome man because I don't look like her.
Yeah.
and I am 30 friggin' five, and I have done so much work to move forward beyond that way of thinking, and it is still constantly thrown in my face. And it is challenging to not feel that way. It is easier to see that and tell myself, don't worry, like, you know that this is just advertising, like all of that, as opposed to me even 10 years ago really believing that. And gosh, 20 years ago, really, truly believing that, you know, because I never had a high school boyfriend, like didn't date. So it was obviously right. because I was fat. So, you know, it just, yeah. But our brains are, they're just so powerful. And I just want to work with her. I just want to work with my brain to really get all the crappy thoughts out of not being enough.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know, I've seen those pictures and you're like, oh my God, she's all petite.
Like, I really have to seek out women that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to go find it. But what's thrown to you is all, for me, what's thrown to me is all the other stuff. And maybe that's just a continued, you know, God is throwing me these things to keep me working on my own feelings. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to
maybe.
Justify that.
I mean, no, I know what you mean. Like,
yeah, like,
okay,
Joel, here's your opportunity to change the way that you're thinking about seeing this right now.
Yeah.
As opposed to letting it consume me in any way.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's all comes down to us and how we think about it and what we do. You know, we allow ourselves to feel what we feel. We allow mm-hmm. ourselves, you know, and it's very hard. That's one thing that really frustrates me about the brain thing is that, like, if it is all in our power, it's just frustrating sometimes because you're like, now I have to do it. And it's really hard.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. is. So it can be so, so challenging. And that's when it's easier to go back to what we know. Because our expectations are then met with the feelings that we know are going to come from seeing those images, right? Yeah. So it's easier to just succumb to comfort, mm-hmm. even if it's negative. Even if we know it doesn't make us feel good, we still let that happen because our expectations are then met. And I still get to feel not enough, as opposed to what is feeling enough actually look like. And that sometimes...
And the work that it takes.
Is scarier.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because it's unknown.
It's unknown.
Yeah.
And it takes work to get there. And it's not always easy.
Yeah. But then you think about, you know, brain, our fears and our brain having these fears. Like, how do we acquire fears, right? Like, not a huge fan of snakes. Some people love them.
Mm-hmm.
How does their brain welcome snakes? And why does my brain tell me to pee my pants? You know?
Mm-hmm. Like, Bijou said she's always been afraid of wolves, and she had a terrible dream about wolves all the time, a recurring dream. And then a woman she met said, oh, you're a wolf. And Bijou said, no, what? She said, yes, that's your spirit animal. And she said, no, it's not. I'm scared of wolves. And she said, that's just you being scared of your own power.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I gotta look up snakes.
I know.
Holy cow. So snakes actually, I mean, off the top of my head, I'll have to do some deeper research. Really feminine.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, my God, I'm totally afraid of my femininity in some way. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
That's exciting. I was just wondering how it could relate. So there you go. You figured it out. Okay, boom, we're done. No, I'm just kidding. We do need to get our affirmation out.
I know, but I mean, just thinking about the brain and how then dreams, right? Oh my gosh, we could
dreams.
Like, oh my gosh, we could go down
so
a whole
much.
Situation.
I know. Well, we got to do our affirmation.
I know. Gosh.
So, what came up for you around brain with our affirmation?
I work with my brain.
I work with my brain. Great. Which is weird because
it is. It is. Yeah, like I am not separate from my brain.
My brain works with my brain.
Right? Like. But that's the thing. That's I'm like, you're just having this like
it
out
is,
of
though.
Body.
It's your spirit, your spirit and your soul.
Yeah, like I work with my brain.
Yes.
We have to work together, even though it is the thing that is making me say those words. Oh, I'm blown away.
I know, me too. This is fun. This was super fun. Yeah. Okay, I work with my brain. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jill Faulkner, stickwithit.co. Definitely go find their stuff online. And stick with it. And
go after
app yourself.
All right. Welcome to BYOB. You didn't bring your own
beverage, but I got you.
Oh, you did bring your own, but I had one for you, too. I had kombucha for you.
Yeah, I got all the beverages.
So we finally named our segment. I'm so excited.
BYOB.
B-B-B-B-B. Build your own brand, brain, biz, and everybody make a drink. Yeah. Go ahead. We're encouraging that.
Yeah.
I am right now.
Right now, I think everyone needs a drink.
I know. Did you see that? I think you did see it on Instagram. I think the Fat Jewish posted it, and he was like, my house is like Vegas. No one knows what time it is. Drinking goes at any time. Money's just like...
Yeah. I'm hemorrhaging money. Yeah. And I have no idea what time it was, and I can drink it any time of day.
I thought that was oddly accurate. So
cheers.
Cheers. Clink. Yeah, I'm going to make us the intro. I haven't done it yet. Where are we?
Ooh,
clink.
That's
exciting.
I know.
I've got to make my intros for... all the parts. So it's a project. It's a quarantine project.
Awesome.
Shelter in place project. So hi, Bijou.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me, as we rock our brain, what's on your mind right now? Is your mind working right
now?
Yeah.
So that was a thing is I pride myself in trying to always take the supplements that I need to for my brain.
Oh, and you're so good. You're the best person about it that I even know. Well, and NADs, I'd not even heard of that till you.
So yeah, like binaural beats, meditation, supplements, I like always try to prime my brain. So I like would think that in a case like this that I would be like okay, but no. I was surprised at how much it affected me and how much of a zombie I was for the first couple of days. Like I haven't even, like I've had one family member that's been tested positive but other than that, it's not like this. Obviously, yeah, it's affected my business, but I haven't had it as bad as some people have, and it still really threw me for a loop.
And it's so funny because when we did Rock Your Brain, I was like, oh, this is made for Bijou, because like you're the one I know that's constantly optimizing your brain, and it's really inspiring. But now here we are in this. So what? I mean,
my brain is fried.
mine kind of has been too. I've just had times where I had to accept that I was just, this is just the state I'm in right now, mm-hmm. and my habits have suffered. And I if I've even had habits, I've had days when I didn't meditate, and days, and it showed, mm-hmm. like for sure.
Is it amazing how much of a difference it makes once you start doing it all the time and then when you stop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was, this is all a learning lesson. Like, just being around Drew a lot, too, I've noticed, like, he'll be off in thought. And it's because, like, we're around each other all the time that I just, like, don't even feel like I'm there to him because he has so much on his mind and I have so much on my mind. But then also just, like... being stressed about it. Like, we wouldn't admit that we were stressed about it. And then we finally, like, one night we're like, hey, let's just talk about the fact that we're stressed.
Well, I think it's kind of like a low-level underlying stress.
Yeah.
You know, that we maybe aren't even that cognizant of, which I tried to talk to my kids about even, because I was like, they're acting like they're fine on the surface, but I think that we're all experienced. How could we not?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's because, like, nothing crazy. I mean, this is crazy, but it's not, like, right in our faces to the point where we're shocked and traumatized on the surface. But inside, we all are, like, not going to school and not going to work and it affecting your bottom line. And, I don't know, not knowing how long you're going to be in this situation is messes with your brain a lot.
Oh, that's a huge one, for sure. So... what are you, how do we get out of it? Like, especially like with work and stuff. I mean, I have things I have to work on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what your situation is. Obviously I have the radio show. Like, I'm grateful that I have something I have to do every day, almost every day.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? I noticed that I just gave myself a day or two and I forgave myself for that, because at first I was really frustrated with the fact that I was having an issue. And then I finally was just like, you know what? I got to give myself a little bit of space and a little bit of time to just let this sink in. And then I started, I still had phone calls, but I wasn't on it. Like, right. I wasn't on point. I wasn't, my words weren't coming out right. I wasn't as being as creative as I wanted to be when we were having our editing meetings. Also trying to figure out how to reach out to new clients. Like,
how do you even do that?
I feel really weird.
I've noticed some different businesses doing that too. I saw one on Instagram and it felt weird.
Yeah. And I need to just leave it alone. So I can't do sales, but I want to focus on the clients that we do have. And I want to give them all that I have. And I've been trying, but my brain is just weird. So then gave myself a day or two. And then today,
can I just say though, sorry, hold that thought. But I think that those days may come again. Like, you gave them to yourself. But I want to just say that, like, it'll be normal for them to come again. And I've given myself, like, I've had the radio show and I had to do that. But if I didn't have that little bit of structure, mm-hmm. I would have been just like a mess all over the place. And so I've tried to give myself that time too. Okay, so today, taking my picture.
Yeah, I like this. today, I woke last night. I actually woke up. So I got that Aura ring that everyone talks about, and I'm wearing it all the time. Yeah. And it has that app.
Explain what that is real quick.
So the Aura ring is it tracks a lot of your bodily functions. So like your heartbeat, your sleep, your temperature, all that stuff to like give you information about trends in your body. And I'm really bad at sleeping. Apparently I thought I was fine, but it tells you how long you've been in REM and deep sleep and how many times you wake up in the night. And then it gives you tips on how to optimize.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, it's crazy how much it knows. Like, it'll literally say, try not drinking. And I'm like, how did it know I drink? Or it'll be like, try not to watch TV before you go to bed. And I'm like, how did it know? And then it'll tell me the exact time I fell asleep. And I'm like, how did it know? Cause I was in bed for like 45 minutes before that. And I don't know, it's really weird, but I started realizing last night that I just woke up in the middle of the night and I was pissed at myself for not being on top of it like as much as I want to be right now. And then this morning I was like, okay, I'm going to take my supplements, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to do a little bit of yoga, and I'm going to get my shit done. And yeah, I have to have one or two days of being a complete mess, and then I have to make up for it by trying to come back and be okay the next couple of days. I don't know.
I feel totally the same way. I had like 3 days in a row where I had this to-do list of just stuff I've been putting off, and I'm like, now I have the time. This is what I wanted, time. You know? And then I don't get it done, and literally I stared at the same list for like 3 days in a row, and it was kind of depressing me. And in fact, I've still got it today, but today I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and we'll see how it goes. But I think it's just, I think we have to just recognize the stress that is there no matter what, mm-hmm. even if we tell ourselves it's not, and cut ourselves slack in that regard. Don't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. Also, I'm really interested.
I just say that to myself.
No. But you know, what's amazing to me is I've been reading that Dirty Jeans book.
Oh, and yeah. G-E-N-E-S.
Yeah. It's so good, Amy. And it really gives you some insight into your body, where chemicals really do affect your mood and how much you can like get done at work focus wise, and what you crave when you're eating. I mean, oh, my God. Reading this book has blown my mind.
I want to read that because I became a little depressed as my fresh food started to diminish, and I thought I needed to go to the grocery store, but I was kind of nervous about that. And so anyway, I ended up going and I felt so much better. Like, having fresh food around and the right things to put in my body is like, I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm such a psycho. And now I'm like trying to garden my own vegetables because I'm so afraid of running out.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it seems like everything's fine now. Like, the grocery stores all have stuff.
Where
in
we
them.
Are in Austin, it's
thank
like
God.
Central Market was business as usual, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, they were recommending social distancing, and there were some differences, but overall, I don't know. You wouldn't have known, really.
Well, was there a lot of fresh fruit and veggies?
Absolutely, tons.
Okay, because like a couple times that I've gone to the grocery store, there's been nothing.
Wow. Oh, wow. I don't know.
I mean, I know that was like a week or so ago, and maybe it's gotten better.
Is it because it's bought out, or is it because it's not being delivered?
I don't know. Maybe it just took a minute to catch up.
Yeah, maybe. All right. So what are some tips with working in zombie brain? Like, what do you think it's... So one of the things I was reading about from... I think it was those astronauts that, you know, it's been circulating a lot about these astronauts and their tips about living in isolation. And one of the things that they said was to keep a schedule.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping a schedule?
Yeah, I've been trying to. There's been like random phone calls that have kind of thrown me off of my schedule. But it's been actually easier just because I don't have as many options, right? Before I was like, oh, well, yeah, I'll just go and run and do this, or someone wants to drop by for that. And now it's like those things aren't a thing. So it's been a little bit easier for me.
I would say the same thing about the phone calls. Like, I feel like last week, really, I had some phone calls with friends that were even like an hour long.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that now I can't get anything done. But I didn't really care.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm starting to understand that this is going to go on for a while, and I got to implement a schedule that I have to be able to live by.
I just am so interested in how the brain works, in the sense that when there's choice, right? So if I'm told to stay home, I don't want to stay home. But if I wanted to stay home,
right,
then I would want to stay home. And it wouldn't be like as crazy and nerve-wracking. But it's just so interesting to me how just the reframing of something can stress me out or make me feel better. It's just like I have to come up with ways to trick my mind into not being stressed out.
Yeah.
Or at least to look at it and to go, oh, well, if it was this way and it would be the same exact situation per se, I wouldn't be so upset. So I just need to like understand all of this.
I was thinking about that exact same thing this morning. Exact same thing. I think I was reading Joe Dispenza, and it's all about this reframe and how we look at it. And so I think we have to reframe.
Yeah.
It's our big takeaway.
Yeah.
Reframe it.
I'm trying.
I don't think it's something you can get perfect either. I think I would encourage people to just cut yourself some freaking slack. Like we don't know what's, you know, to come tomorrow even, and what news we're going to get. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, luck, everybody.
What else are you reading right now before we go?
Just that for right now. I've been reading a bunch of books on gardening.
That's great. You know what? That's very serene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been helping me watch these little things grow.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a thing happen earlier this week that you know about that was personal, you know, just with custody and things like that. And, you know, you just reminded me of the surrender. And I just wanted to touch on that before we go, and that you never know what's to come out of something. And, you know, you might become some sort of gardening guru. We don't know. Who knows? We don't know.
Ooh, I like
face,
this.
Your face.
This is. I like this reframe. Okay.
I mean, we don't know. And even as hard as that is, yes, we don't know the bad. Who's going to die? Who's going to get this? How bad it's going to be? Am I going to get it? But we also don't know the good.
Oh yeah.
So maybe
it's also very interesting to me. Like, I know people aren't going to maybe like to hear this, but it is. I have seen some quote unquote good come out of this in regards to people needing to understand that it is possible to work from home sometimes, or it is possible to just chill and not have to be out spending money and being social all the time. It is okay to drive around less and eat out less and be a little bit better to the environment. Like, there are some good things that are coming out of it. And you know what's funny is that when I walk my dogs, people are smiling at me more than they ever have been before. And it's like, why does it take a freaking pandemic for people to be nice? Yeah. It's all very interesting to me. I'm really going to start looking into how this truly affects our society in a month or so.
Yeah, I had read something about that was comparing this to post 9/11 and the effect that it had on how we are with everyone else. And but I think the that's so interesting. All those things that you just pointed out, you're so right. And even like engaging with your kids and things like that, you know, as like, if you're told to homeschool, it sounds like a nightmare, but I mean, to me anyway, but you know, there are new ways that I'm going to have to engage with my kids and have been. And so, yeah,
it's cool.
It is, you know, so, here's to reframing. Tink. Cheers. Thank you so much, Bijou. You guys, please find her at Story by Style, Story X Style on Instagram, or at Velvet Cartel on Instagram. And of course, velvetcartel.com, where you have a great blogging resource. Everybody can start their own blog.
This thing has got me getting my other guide done that'll be done soon. And I'm super excited about
What's it about?
Well, you know, so I did the documentary on all of those entrepreneurial men. Plus, I'm in part of this entrepreneur organization. So I'm basically collecting all the little amazing tidbits that I've written down in my phone from those people. And I'm condensing it into like one guide from, like, I would call them masters.
Nice.
Yeah.
A master guide.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, awesome. I look forward to that. Everybody will. So, all right, cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
BYO.
Of course.
Okay, there's a resource roundup of what we covered today on my blog at amyedwards.com/blog. Go there for links to everything we mentioned in this episode, and there should be a link to that post in the episode description wherever you're listening. Thank you so much to everyone today, especially to our guest, Dr. Art Markman. Remember, he is at smartthinkingbook.com or on Instagram at abmarkman. Also, thank you, of course, to our regular Rock Your Life contributors, Jill Faulkner on Go Af Yourself. Find Jill at stickwithit.co online or at stickwithit.co on Instagram. And thank you so much to Bijou Finney as well. You can find her at Story by Style, Story X Style on Instagram, Velvet Cartel on Instagram, or at velvetcartel.com, where also her resource is found as well. And of course, I'll have a link to the Gentleman Driver movie that Bijou produced and Art was a part of. And remember what Art said today, that we have an opportunity now to focus on our relationships and connect and communicate and see where we can get better. And I'll even take that a little further with what Jill said about changing the way we think about things and how that can be unknown and scarier. And that's part of what we have to overcome. And we can. We can retrain our brains and use this time to see the beauty in life and, of course, reframe. You knew I was going to say that, right? All right. So if you'd like to share your thoughts with me, I'd love to hear them. So write to me, amy@amyedwards.com. And remember, I'm here for coaching, accountability. What do you want? What do you need? We can figure it out. Don't forget to please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, share it with a friend if you feel called. It matters so much. And I'm so, so grateful. I'm really grateful for you, for this, all of it. Thank you. This has been Rock Your Life with Amy Edwards. Thank you so much for listening. Peace and love and health to you in your brain, in your reframe, in every way. Peace and love, y'all. Till next time.